Welcome back, everybody, to the Golf Unfiltered podcast, episode 160. I am your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. You can follow me on Twitter at golfunfiltered, and you can send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. It's been a little while since we last spoke, folks, and I apologize for that. Things are getting busy here over at GUHQ, specifically for my day job, actually. But today, I bring you a conversation with Ryan Engel, a gentleman who is the creator, founder, entrepreneur, whatever you want to call him, of this exciting new smartphone app, Golf Scope. For those of you who know what augmented reality is, or AR, as it's referred to in tech space, basically, it's a feature on many different smartphones, both iPhone and Android these days, where it will scan, using the camera, it'll scan the world around you, and you can play different games that support AR, or it could use different apps that supports that feature. And Golf Scope is exactly that. It will actually help read putts for you. I know how that sounds, and for those of you who follow me on Twitter probably have seen the video that I posted recently of me playing with this thing that seems almost like a straight out of a Tiger Woods EA Sports game where you see the putting line on the putting green. Well, I can tell you that it works. I've had the chance to use it quite a few times. I've spoken with Ryan in the past to give him feedback on how to make the app better. And this week, or at least a little bit after this show airs, you will be able to go out to at least the iPhone App Store or Apple App Store and download Golf Scope. So Ryan and I talk a lot about the technology. We talk about what made him want to get into this space because it is a pretty big leap into augmented reality and something that will actually read putts for you. So it's a great conversation. A few shout outs to my friends. First and foremost, over to the Hackers Paradise if you're listening to this on the THP Radio app. Also want to say hello to our friends over at Budget Golf and Cleveland and Srixon. So without much further ado, here's our conversation with Mr. Ryan Engel, founder of Golf Scope. Back, folks, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, I am joined today by Mr. Ryan Engel. He is the creator of probably the most innovative golf app that I've seen to date, Golf Scope. Ryan, this is a pretty cool thing you got going on so far. How are you today?
Adam, I'm doing great, and I think those are extremely kind words, especially coming from you. I know you look at a lot of very innovative golf tech, so I appreciate that.
You know, it's funny because I don't know all the different things that my smartphone can do. And then when you showed me what you've created with Golf Scope, it just blew me away. Like, I had heard of this thing called augmented reality, or AR as it's referred to. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's a different take on something that golfers have wanted for a long time. And that is just help with their putting.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. And it really comes down to what you initially said, the kind of, I don't know a lot of the things that my phone can do. And that was really the impetus to create Golf Scope. I was actually playing around a golf myself and had a lot of putts lined up, and I was having a really hard time reading the greens. And I thought to myself, you know, my phone's got a lot of really high-tech sensors. It's, you know, almost a $1,000 piece of hardware in my pocket. It has got to be able to help me read some of these greens. And one thing led to another. And, you know, Golf Scope is effectively the byproduct of that kind of initial concept.
So folks probably don't know who Ryan Engel is, but they're going to know very soon. Why don't you let us know a little bit about your background, where you're from, and how you got interested in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I'll start with the beginning, which is sort of, you know, how I got into golf, the most important part. I actually spent a decent portion of my childhood living in Africa, and I was living in South Africa while I was 11, and my dad would play golf on the weekends. And one day, I didn't have anything to do. I guess I was bored, and I asked my dad if I could join him for a round of golf. And he said, yep, but if you take too long, I'm going to tell you to pick up the ball and move on to the next hole, because obviously, you know, pace of play matters. And I said, yeah, no problem. So we go out there, and I kind of immediately took to the game. He didn't ask me to pick up one. I'm pretty sure I had quite a few tens and higher, but I was able to pick up, and I fell in love with it. And, you know, one of the nicest things about living in South Africa is the weather's fantastic. The weather was between 55 and 85 degrees every day of the year, and we lived right behind a golf course. And it cost $1 for me to play as a junior. So I could go out there after school and play golf almost, you know, every day of the year practically, put plenty of, you know, divots and messed up our backyard quite a bit practicing there. But I was there for 3 years and played a lot of golf and fell in love with the game. And I've always been very interested in technology. So, you know, stepping forward, I got my computer science degree from Virginia Tech, was really into kind of gaming and, you know, building computer games. So got this 3D background from that and started building games after college, joined a small company here. I live in Austin, Texas. Did that for a little while. I think, you know, a lot of this stuff comes down to timing, and I got really lucky because I graduated in 2007 and the iPhone came out that year. And it was a year later that the iPhone released the App Store and you could start building apps for the iPhone. And that was right when, you know, I effectively started my career. So I started working on iPhone apps in 2008. So, you know, I can legitimately say I've been doing this as long as anybody in the iPhone space. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty cool because, at, you know, in 2008, there were no experts on mobile app development. I quickly, you know, kind of was able to work on a lot of really cool apps for some big companies. I worked for an agency, and we worked on some apps for Google and Audi and a bunch of other Fortune 500 companies. Eventually, I was introduced to the founder of 1-800-CONTACTS, who also happened to be the founder of Glasses.com. And they were working on this really cool new technology called augmented reality. And this was back in 2011 that we were introduced. So pretty early, before anyone really knew what AR was. And they wanted to use AR to put glasses on your face so that you could buy glasses through your phone. Hmm. And it sounded like a pretty crazy idea. You know, I was kind of imagining something that looked a little bit cartoony. But he, you know, he showed me a demo of someone from the computer graphics field who had done actual, you know, movie production. And he showed me two side-by-side videos of the guy wearing glasses. And I'm kind of thinking, why are you showing me these two videos? And he's like, well, one of them, he's not actually wearing glasses. One of them's computer graphics. And I'm like, no way. And he's like, that's what we want to build. He's like, we want to build it so you don't even know that the person's not wearing glasses. And I was like, okay, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be really hard, but really interesting. You know, a year and a half later, we sort of cracked it, and Glasses.com was launched, and it was quite a success at the time, and it ended up getting acquired by Luxottica. So that whole process was extremely interesting to me, and I kind of saw, you know, a product get built from the ground up, very heavily involved on the tech side of it. After that, the founder, Jonathan Kuhn, asked if I would join his next startup called Wikibuy, which helps you save money online. I did that, spent the last 4 years there. And then about 6 months ago, while I was still at Wikibuy, is when I kind of had this, you know, this moment realizing on the golf course that, hey, I think there's a way to use this AR tech that, you know, I'm slightly familiar with to help with golf. And if it's doable, then I think, you know, it could have a pretty big impact on the way that people approach the game.
And so what's interesting about that is throughout the years, throughout you starting your career, dating all the way back from when you were playing with your dad in South Africa, you're still playing the game of golf. And so was there always a goal, an end goal of getting back into golf as a career?
Well, you know, it's funny. So when I was 11, and I started playing, it didn't take that long to start beating my dad. I'm not to put my dad on the spot or anything. He's not the best golfer ever, but you know, he's been playing a lot longer than me. So for a very short period of time, you know, I figured pro golf was probably the right fit for me.
As is every
and then,
kid.
And then I, what's that?
Every kid thinks that at some point.
Exactly. And then I, you know, did high school golf, actually, and quickly realized that, you know, that was probably not the case. And there are some really good, you know, junior golfers out there that have been playing a lot longer, have a lot more skill. So, you know, that kind of took a little bit of the wind out of the sails for me on the golf front. And I actually took it a little bit less seriously after high school. I would still play casually, and I still really enjoyed it. But it was really about 2 years ago when I started playing again more frequently, you know, maybe every other week or something like that. And I had a friend who played, so we would go out. And that's when I realized a couple things. One, that I still really loved golf. Mm-hmm. And two, that, you know, golf was kind of primed for disruption when it comes to technology. And a lot has been done on the tech front. But with AR and, you know, virtual reality being these two fields that I think are about to explode, that just got me really excited, because of all the sports out there, I think golf is the best suited for those technologies. And, you know, I can really see them having a huge impact. So once, you know, those two things kind of clicked, then it was like, oh yeah, I really want to do something professionally in the golf space and in the tech space. And, you know, I think now's the time to do it.
And the result of that passion and the desire to do something like that is Golf Scope. And so, in a very general, high-level definition, what is Golf Scope?
Yeah, great question. So, effectively, in its current incarnation, and, you know, the long-term goal is to continue to improve it. This is really, I still consider it a beta. The current goal of Golf Scope is focused on putting, and it uses augmented reality and your camera to read the contours of the green and to show you the line as if you're seeing it, you know, kind of from the view of a professional golfer or a professional caddy, and to really show you the breaks, the contours, and exactly where you need to aim to make the putt. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to give you that true view of the putt and display all the information that you need to make a putt. That's kind of the initial premise of Golf Scope, to use augmented reality to help you make more putts.
And so, and when you say augmented reality, and the folks who might not have used this, because there are games out there that you can download on the App Store, and you can have a little dancing cartoon in your living room if you want. But what Golf Scope does, and I've used the app, and when you and I were talking a little bit about the use of the app, it scans the green, and it will show all the hills and the breaks, and basically, as you mentioned, the line of the putt. For those of us who are you know, our age, we're both in our you know, 30s, we'll remember from video games that we played where, if you wanted to putt a ball, you would see a line going from the ball to the hole. And this is literally what Golf Scope provides to you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of meant to be, you know, a real life video game, a real life, you know, PGA, like the Tiger Woods PGA game, for every golfer.
And it's incredible. And, you know, it's funny, Ryan, when you and I, when you had first brought the idea to me to kind of say, hey, would you like to try this out? I'll admit, I was a little skeptical at first because, one, I didn't really know what AR was. and two, you know, I couldn't fathom that a camera on a smartphone just pointed at the ground can give me an accurate read on what the putt was. And as I told you in a previous phone conversation, I was playing golf with a friend, and I was using one of the earlier versions of the app. And I said, you know what, I'm going to try this out. Tried it out. He's like, I don't believe it. I'm going to try to hit a putt on this line that it's telling me. And he sank the first putt that he hit. And I've used the app since then a few other times and in different iterations. And it still shocks me how accurate this putting line is. You said you have a background in software development to a degree. I mean, how much time and energy went into making this thing work and being as accurate as it is?
Yeah, right. Good question. So you know, I basically had that initial idea in my head when I was playing that round of golf, and that was August of last year. And I guess I have a lot of ideas, and sometimes they come and sometimes they go. And this one just wasn't going. So I was thinking about it, you know, during work, after work, and I said, okay, I gotta figure out if this is a good idea or not. So I took a week off of work. I built a prototype. I basically used the phone to collect as much data as it would give me. And then I built a prototype, and it wasn't even running on the phone. It was actually just running on my computer. And, you know, I spent kind of all day and night just around the clock practically that 1 week seeing if I could do this. Mm-hmm. And I got far enough that week to convince myself that this was in fact possible with the current hardware and software. It would take a lot of iteration, but there was something here. And so that was probably in September. Then every kind of night and weekend, I still have my full-time job. So every night and weekend I was jamming away at this thing as many hours as I could. And then I finally got to the point where I said, I just can't stop thinking about this. And, you know, I think it's going to work. And decided that the beginning of this year, January, I would leave my full-time job and start doing this full-time.
Wow.
And since then, I've been at it, you know, nonstop, trying to make tweaks here and there. And I think we finally got it working in a pretty good state right around when you first tried it, which I guess was maybe a couple months ago. And from there, we've put a ton of time trying to think through all the different usability, trying to make some of the data that we're showing a little bit more obvious, trying to remove as many taps and you know, inputs as possible. Since my background is very much on the tech side and on sort of the app and usability side, really trying to think through reducing friction is something that I spend a lot of time on, and especially a product like this where you're using it on the golf course. Mm-hmm. And you know, pace of play is such a big deal. You can't have somebody entering data, you know, through the keyboard when they're playing golf. That's going to take way too much time. Every tap matters. So we spent a lot of time just trying to try different designs. I would go play 18 holes, be like, you know, this worked, that didn't work. Let's go back to the drawing board. Been contracting a designer, and other than that, you know, it's been pretty much all of this year, at least focusing on it full time, along with sort of the part time prior to this.
It's incredible how much work you've accomplished in such a short time. I mean, you had mentioned just last August is when the ball really started rolling, and I want to get into a little bit of the specifics of the app here in a second. But you know, I've never taken on something as innovative as a golf app. I've had many times with this podcast and even the what website where I've kind of just wanted to throw my hands up and say, you know what, that's enough. Did you ever hit a point where you're like, what the heck am I doing?
Oh yeah, there were a couple times where I would you know, have a build and I'd feel really good about it, and then I'd go out there to use it and it would crash on every other hole, or the reeds would be entirely off, and you know, they'd be just way out there, and I would start to question, like, you know, is the data good enough to do this? Going through a lot of, I sort of worked on a lot of different startups, most of the time as a contractor. But every project goes through these phases where you have that doubt, you know, that doubt appears, and persistence is really your best tool. So I would complain like crazy to my wife, and she would say, "You'll figure it out." And I'd say, "That's not helping." And then she'd say, "Well, you'll figure it out." And then I would go back to the drawing board and we'd keep going. So it was a lot. I mean, it was a lot of trial and error. But I would just keep thinking back to the few times where, you know, it did work really well and think like, okay, all I have to do is figure out, you know, why it worked then and why it's not working now. And we'll get there. And I want to be, you know, extremely clear to your audience and everyone who will hopefully eventually try this, that it's certainly not perfect as it currently stands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm fully committed to doing everything in my power to get it there over time.
How much of a strong support system has your wife been in this endeavor?
Oh my God. I feel extremely, extremely grateful. We actually have a little 1.5-year-old. So She, you know, she takes care of him and I'm working from home. And, you know, I can hear him screaming and, you know, thinking, oh, I should probably go help. And she just takes care of it. She's given me, you know, nights and weekends to work on this thing. We're obviously, you know, taking quite a financial risk. And she's just been incredibly supportive. So I really couldn't do it without her. And I'm really grateful. She doesn't actually play golf, which is probably a good thing in this case. but you know, I show her the app and I'm like, hey, does this make sense? You know, even from a non-golfer, because, you know, if you don't play golf and you can figure it out, then maybe we're on the right track. So it's been great to get her feedback just on general usability and stuff like that too.
So speaking of the usability, let's talk a little bit about how the app actually works. And so you go up to your putt, and you turn on the app on your phone, you point the phone at your putt, and you get prompted to basically identify the position of your ball on the green, and that's just use your finger. And you then walk to the hole, and the camera picks up, at least as far as I've found it, it's pretty good at picking up where the hole is, and it just asks for you to confirm that this is where the hole is. And you just, after a couple finger touches, the app does the rest of the work, and then voila, you've got a putting line to try out.
Yeah, exactly. You nailed it. So, you know, our goal right from the beginning was to make sure that you could do this whole thing with just two taps. So tap one is to confirm your ball. And we spent a lot of time working on some computer vision algorithms to automatically identify golf balls, including balls of different colors. And spent a lot of time training an algorithm to identify the hole. And I remember in the process of doing it and testing it, you know, it wasn't working perfectly. And there was definitely sort of the question of like, is this worth the time? Is this worth the effort to get this automatic ball detection? Like the app will still work if we don't have the automatic ball detection. And I just remember thinking the few times when it did work, like, wow, this is so much better. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to be very precise with your phone if you can just tap yes and then walk to the hole and tap yes. So yeah, two taps and you've got the line, and that's, you know, we feel like that's pretty much as good as we could get, at least for V1.
And so now, on top of that, there are some other features, such as, you know, you get to see the make percentage of certain putts, and you get to see the distance that the putt rolled, and then you even get a shot history. I'm actually looking at the app right now. And so you get all of this detail that's on top of just the line of the putt. So this, in my opinion, I mean, would you say that this is maybe more geared certainly for people on the golf course, but perhaps even more of a benefit to folks just learning the game?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And, you know, we've run a beta with over 100 people using it. And I kind of expected that somebody, you know, very similar to me, I'd say I'm a slightly better than average golfer, you know, more of an avid golfer. I figured people like me that are into tech and into golf would really like this. And they'd be, you know, they think the putt percent and stuff like that was really interesting and cool and great for tracking stats. It turns out that the beginners, you know, really like it because in a lot of cases, they're not even sure how to go about reading a green. So it kind of gives them just a foundation, which is great. And then, you know, we've actually even had some pros check it out, and some really high-end teachers have started to check it out. And they've been excited about different things, like the ability. One of the things that you can do is you can decide whether you want to hit a conservative putt, a normal putt, or an aggressive putt. And the difference there is essentially how far past the hole the ball is going to go. Mm-hmm. So a normal putt's going to go about a foot and a half past the hole, which, you know, gives you a pretty easy shot if you miss. A conservative putt is basically just going to go a few inches past the hole. So it's almost going to die in the hole. And an aggressive putt is going to go a few feet past the hole. So if you miss, you know, you got a little bit coming back. And different players have very different preferences. And even on a per putt basis, you might have a different preference around what you want to do. If it's a, you know, crucial birdie putt to get your best round ever, you're probably going to hit it a little bit more aggressive. If it's a safe par putt, you know, downhill, and you're, you know, trying to make the cut, or, you know, not lose too many strokes, you might go a little bit more conservative. So we found the better players really have appreciated that specific feature, because they think a lot about how aggressive they want to be on each putt, and it can have a pretty big impact on the line as the ball is going slower. You'll see more break. So a conservative putt will typically have noticeably more break than an aggressive putt, mm-hmm. which you know, has a big impact on what line you pick. So interestingly, different players of different skill levels seem to be excited about different features, which is great and not, you know, not entirely expected.
And we should be pretty clear here that this isn't okayed for tournament play at this point. I mean, this is a tool that players could use during practice rounds, casual rounds with their friends, just to kind of learn a little bit more about their tendencies, to the point that you just brought up about, okay, well, if I choose the conservative line more often than an aggressive line, this is my make percentage versus the alternative, right?
That's exactly right. But, you know, that is something that over time we hope to sort of have some impact on. You know, the rules of golf are constantly changing. And one thing that I find, you know, kind of ironic is this technology in its current state, according to the current rules of golf, will not be legal for tournament play. However, you can have a professional caddy, and you can bring a green map that gives you every contour of the green. You could sit out there and take notes all night long that tells you how every putt breaks, and you can bring that with you to a tournament. Mm-hmm. That's totally legal. And, you know, in my mind, this technology is really no different than that. The biggest difference is now it's available to everyone, to people who don't want to spend all night on the golf course keeping track of every putt, or, you know, don't want to pay a lot of money for a green map, or don't have a professional caddy. So, you know, I think this is a step towards really democratizing the data that's already out there and that's already legal for golf. And, you know, I think rangefinders are a pretty good example of how the rules of golf can at least bend to accommodate new technology. So when rangefinders were first introduced, you know, they were deemed illegal and you couldn't play with them at tournaments. Now it's sort of up to the local ruling. You know, you still don't see them on the tour, but a lot of tournaments do allow rangefinders. You know, we're hoping we get to the point where this is something that everybody has access to, and it will help you read the break, but it doesn't hit the ball for you. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that in my mind, that's the essence of golf. The essence of golf is not having the data. The essence of golf is actually hitting the stroke and hitting the line that you want. So currently you're absolutely right. You know, this is not tournament legal based on the rules today, but we hope to get to the point where it can be treated at least like a rangefinder.
The rangefinder is a great example you bring up. I mean, I would have never thought in a million years that those would have been allowed. And what they did is they found a way to make them playable during tournaments by just turning off a few features. So maybe that's not too far for technology such as this. And folks, we're talking to Mr. Ryan Engel again. And Ryan, I want to talk a little bit about availability. We've been talking Golf Scope up quite a bit. My understanding is that you guys formally submitted Golf Scope to the App Store few days ago, actually. Any indication when it might be available for us to download?
That's a really good question. So the last couple of weeks have been very interesting for us on the business front, and we've been contacted by quite a few different people, you know, relatively big players in the golf space that are interested in doing something with us. And we're working through those discussions, and that could have a pretty big impact on the exact launch date. So technically, we're in a position now where we are ready to launch when the app is approved. But in terms of actually launching, there are quite a few moving parts that were not were unforeseen, that are all good things. But so it's hard to commit to an exact date at this time, which I apologize for. I would love to be able to tell you, but things are moving so quickly that I don't want to commit and then miss.
No, that makes complete sense. And it's always good, you know, it's good news at least. And so there's people that want to partner with you to make Golf Scope as good as it can be. And I'm sure that you and I will be in touch with each other when this is actually available for us to try out on a grander scale. But Ryan, I do want to thank you again for coming on to share the story of Golf Scope. We do look forward to it coming out and for everyone to try on a grander scale. Anything else we should know about Golf Scope before we let you go today?
Yeah, two things. One, for anybody interested, they can go to golfscope.com and you can enter your email address and we will absolutely contact you as soon as it's available. And there are also some videos on there in case you want to see how it works, because this is one of those products where, you know, seeing a video does make a big difference. And two, when it is released, we will definitely be offering a free trial period so that anyone who is interested will be able to try this for free. And some of the feedback that we've received so far, mostly from people who actually have seen videos, not necessarily people who have used the app, is concerns around pace of play. Mm-hmm. I just would really love people to, you know, try the free version, try it on the course. I know it may seem like it may have an impact on pace of play, but according to the data that we've collected from our beta testers so far, it is a net neutral impact. Mm-hmm. It is not slowing things down, and we hope that over time, through some more improvements, we can actually show that this speeds up play. Because at the end of the day, you won't be making as many, you won't have as many putts. So that's one way to speed up play, is actually to take fewer shots.
Absolutely, and to that point as well, and to come to your defense a little as well, Ryan. I mean, I have used the app, as I've mentioned, and I agree with you completely. I mean, and folks, if you do have that question in your mind, whether or not this will actually slow things up, just consider what you do in your regular foursome. You still read a putt. You probably pull the flag stick, walk around the green a whole bunch anyway. All you really have to do is just add this element while you're doing that to help something else read the putt for you. And so that's something that I've found to help with everything. And I have also seen things move a little bit quicker, at least in my foursome. So take that for what you will, listeners. And Ryan, I want to thank you very much for coming on today, and we look forward to hearing more about Golf Scope.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate it.